With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp, not flashy. Just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Israel has reversed its decision to keep the Rafah crossing closed and will now allow humanitarian aid into Gaza. That is according to Israeli public broadcaster Kan. This, of course, comes after Hamas has handed over four more bodies of hostages overnight. And I'm joined now by Greg Karlstrom, Middle East correspondent for The Economist. Good morning to you, Greg. Tell us the lie of the land. Is the Rafah crossing open already or about to be opened?
My understanding is that it's about to be. There has been, as you mentioned, this dispute over the past 24 hours between Israel and Hamas. Israel saying that Hamas is not living up to its commitments under the ceasefire in Gaza, which obligated it to hand over not just the 20 living Israeli hostages who were freed on Monday, but also the bodies of 28 who died in captivity. Hamas has turned over some of those bodies. It also told negotiators, though, during the ceasefire talks last week that it might not be able to hand over all of them, and in some cases it wasn't sure where all of these hostages were buried. So that disagreement led to Israel saying yesterday that it wouldn't open the crossing. My understanding is that there's been some pressure from the Americans and from other countries on Israel to uphold its end of the deal, and now it seems to have agreed.
So it does appear to be a U-turn there. Our understanding is that four more bodies have been released of hostages overnight, bringing the total number of bodies that have been returned so far to 8 out of the 28. On the ground, obviously this peace deal is currently holding. There does appear to be increasing anger on the Israeli side about some of the things and some of the noises being made by Hamas.
There's anger on the Israeli side, and then there are some very bizarre comments on the American side. What we've seen Hamas doing over the past few days, it has deployed thousands of armed men in the streets of Gaza. It's trying to reassert control in the parts of the territory from which Israel has withdrawn. And so there have been some very violent clashes between Hamas gunmen and members of sort of prominent influential families in Gaza that might be able to challenge its rule. People have been killed. People have been bound and made to kneel in the street and then executed by Hamas militants. It's trying to reassert its authority. And Donald Trump, in a somewhat bizarre exchange with reporters yesterday, sort of said that he was okay with that and said that Hamas was cracking down on some very, very bad gangs in Gaza. He called on the group to disarm in the long term, but he seemed to signal that America didn't mind what Hamas was doing in the short term.
Okay. Hamas are saying that those that they have executed, fellow Palestinians, are collaborators, those who had worked in conjunction with Israel. Is there any evidence that that is the case, or do you believe that what we're actually seeing is an attempt, as you say, of asserting their control in, for example, the Gaza Strip, where I suppose it might be presumed that their control is now lessened by what's happening?
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
I think in some cases what Hamas is saying is accurate, but I think the existence of some of these Israeli-backed groups has given Hamas an excuse to go after anyone that it deems a rival. There are groups such as the so-called Popular Forces, for example, that's a militia in Gaza that has received some support from the Israelis in recent months. It's received weapons and other equipment. And they have been involved in some of these clashes with Hamas. In that case, it's very clear that it's an Israeli-backed group. But the heaviest fighting that we've seen in Gaza City, it's with a family, the Dogmash family, in Gaza, which has long opposed Hamas's control of the territory, but also refused Israeli offers of support. The Israelis reached out to this family over the summer, offered to supply them with weapons. They refuse. So Hamas is using, again, the existence of some of these groups as a pretext to go after anyone that it doesn't like.
It would appear, Greg, that Hamas wished to have a role in the governance and in the control of Gaza going forward. Obviously, that is contrary to the peace plan. In your view, what are we likely to see happening? Obviously, Benjamin Netanyahu has said all hell will break loose if Hamas do not disarm. And Donald Trump has said they will disarm. We will disarm them. So what do you think is likely to emerge, I suppose, by way of a power struggle within Gaza?
I think what's happening now was inevitable in many ways. I think there was no situation in which a ceasefire would take hold, the war would end, and Hamas, which still has plenty of guns and plenty of armed men, would not try to take control. I think the question is really what happens in the long term. The Trump plan talks about a peacekeeping force made up of troops from Arab and Muslim countries that would be sent to Gaza to provide security there and to try to train Palestinian police to provide security. The question is whether that force is actually stood up or not. No one has committed troops to it yet. There have been some vague expressions of interest from the likes of Turkey and Indonesia, but they haven't committed to anything, and there is not one Arab state that has committed it yet. So will that force actually materialize? Will it be able to exert some control in Gaza? If it can't, I think it's going to be very difficult to try and disarm Hamas and push it out of power.
And maybe lastly, Greg, in terms of the humanitarian situation within Gaza, I know we're saying that the Rafah crossing is about to open. I think there's about 600 trucks on that border willing to go in. But how bad or how difficult is the task of getting that humanitarian aid to Palestinians currently?
It's enormous. And even though we've seen a slight uptick in aid over the past few days, when I've spoken to people in Gaza, you know, their expectation was that once the ceasefire took hold, aid would flood the territory and it would be easy to find food and hunger would be a thing of the past. And that hasn't happened yet. People are saying prices of food have come down somewhat in parts of Gaza, but it's still difficult for some people to find what they need. I think one of the issues is the lack of security across the territory. We've seen images of trucks that cross the border, and then immediately after they get into Gaza, they're being mobbed and their contents are being offloaded. You know, in some cases, maybe that's desperate, hungry people doing it. In other cases, maybe it's criminals or member of armed gangs. It's not entirely clear who is doing the looting here. But that's been an issue for humanitarian groups throughout the war. And I think it's going to remain an issue for some time now. It's not enough just to get the trucks across the border. You have to be able to get them safely to where they need to go.
Look, thank you very much for joining us on all of that. That is Greg Karlstrom there, Middle East correspondent for The Economist.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.